Good morning, and welcome once again to Studies in the Gospels. Studies in the Gospels is a program that is heard each week here on the Gospel Radio Network, where we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Right now, we are looking in our study at the events surrounding the cross of Calvary. And we have been looking at this for several weeks now. And today we are going to look at when the Jews mocked Jesus upon the cross. Now this is recorded in three of the four accounts. Matthew records this in chapter 27, verses 38 through 44. Mark records this in chapter 15, verses 27 through 32, and Luke records these events in chapter 23, verses 35 through 37. Now, I would remind you that this program is heard each week at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time each Friday, and then it is rebroadcast in the evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, and then posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website within a day or so. So you can go back and listen to previous editions of this program and any other program here on the Gospel Radio Network. So now for our purposes today, we are primarily going to use Matthew's account. So let's go there now to Matthew 27, and notice verses 38 through 44. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priest also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. So, just the continuation of these horrible events. Now we begin by noticing that the two thieves were crucified with Jesus. Verse 38, "Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left." So it is revealed that two robbers were crucified with Jesus. They were crucified, one to the right of Jesus and one to his left. Now some of the scholars believe these two may have been associates of Barabbas, and that Barabbas was the original one intended for the center position. That is certainly a possibility, but it is only speculation. By crucifying Jesus between these two sordid criminals, it would be obviously something that would add further to the humiliation of our Lord. The king being crucified with two criminals. This particular aspect of the death of our Lord, in fact, would be the fulfillment of even more Old Testament prophecy. Notice Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Now, of course, we can see the precise fulfillment of this prophecy. The two robbers, or thieves, were wicked. And the word wicked was used here by Isaiah in the plural form. The tomb that Jesus was buried in belonged to Joseph of Arimathea, who was a rich man of Cyrene. So Jesus is crucified between two thieves. And now we notice the mocking of the Jews. Verse 39. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads, and saying, You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So Jesus, while in the midst of his humiliation and his suffering, would suffer the further indignity of having the onlookers reviling and mocking and wagging their heads as they passed by him. How deeply the wounds of the mocking and the insulting words would have been as they penetrated the heart and the mind of Jesus, coming from the very people that he allowed himself to be crucified for. In those days, the custom was that the wagging of the head was an especially insulting behavior. Notice 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 21. This is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head behind your back. Now, consider Job chapter 16 and verse 4. I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's place, I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you. And a very obvious example would be the 22nd Psalm, verses 7 and 8. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. There was no compassion. There was no sympathy from these mockers and revilers of our Lord. How could a heart become so cold as to take no sympathy for one in the plight of Jesus? J.W. McGarvey said here, "It is strange how tenaciously the minds of the people clung to the old slander that Jesus threatened to destroy the temple and build it again in 3 days. The remark from which it sprang was made during the first visit to Jerusalem after his baptism. And yet it is now thrown in his teeth while he hangs on the cross, as though it were the most boastful speech that he had ever made." These revilers were insinuating that he was not able to fulfill the words he had spoken. What a tragic mistake on their part. Recall for a moment John chapter 2, beginning in verse 18. "So the Jews answered and said to him, 'What sign do you show to us, since you do these things?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up.' Then the Jews said, 'It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?' But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said to them, he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." They challenged Jesus mockingly to come down from the cross and to save himself. They falsely said that they would believe in him if he would come down from the cross. They fully believed that he could not do that. And how ironic it is that the only reason that he did not come down from the cross was to save the very ones that were challenging him to do just that. They would not have become believers even if he did come down from the cross. They had already been witness to all of the miracles, signs, and wonders of Jesus. But the sad fact is that they were just like their fathers before them, the ones who had killed the prophets before. Now back to our text. Notice verse 41 and following. "Likewise, the chief priest also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God.'" They just could not seem to get enough enjoyment out of the proceedings. And so they proceeded to further taunt our Lord. Verse 42. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. It is literally beyond our comprehension that at one point in all of this travesty, Jesus would say, Father, forgive them. They had nailed the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to the tree. And at this moment, their joy could not be restrained at having done this evil act. Some of these individuals would be present on the day of Pentecost, and they would realize their sin. But the great majority would follow the blasphemous path they were charting all the way into the wrong side of eternity. They believed they were being proven right by Jesus not coming down from the cross. They believed that if he were truly the Son of God, he would have delivered himself. What complete fools. Consider the words of Burton Kaufman here. The shameful behavior of the rulers of Israel in this instant has no parallel or precedent. Their blasphemous quotations of the scriptures being then and there fulfilled before their very eyes only emphasized the moral blackout of their nobler natures. The taunting promise that they would believe on him if he then came down from the cross was of course a lie. As a matter of fact, Christ did a more marvelous thing 3 days later by coming forth from the tomb, though they had it sealed and guarded. And yet they did not believe on him even after that. In light of the words of Brother Kaufman, we might also note that they had already seen and witnessed him raising the dead. Finally, verse 44, even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. The thieves that were also upon the cross reviled him just as the passers-by did. Now, if the Lord wills, next week we're going to look further at the thieves upon the cross that were crucified next to Jesus. I hope that you'll join me for that. And so, this greatest miscarriage of justice in the history of mankind continues to move forward. If the Lord wills, we'll examine the thieves next week here on Studies in the Gospels. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.